are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on February 5th, 1988.
Have you ever tried to think your way into the past, to dwell in spirit in some era when life had a different, perhaps more liberating aspect? It's a fanciful and romantic pastime, you say, better befitting our youth than our mature years. Yes, but it's one which my profession requires of me with some frequency. In my reveries, I must see and interpret the old stamping grounds in primeval conditions, devoid of human settlement and peopled by creatures, many of which have long since disappeared. It's not as easy as it may sound. For instance, central New York has undergone many changes in its history. We can see it in the rock strata, the soils, and the landforms, even in the peaty deposits captured and preserved under boggy waters. It's an imperfect record, with much room for conjecture. It tells us of marine invasions with corals and crinoids and trilobites. Another period, now obliterated from the fossil record, locally, was a time of shallow swamps in which tree ferns, sprawling amphibians, and three-foot dragonflies were dominant. Then came the era of the reptiles, when vegetation became more and more like its modern counterparts, and animal life exploded into myriad bizarre but dead-end forms. We do have a few legacies of that age, turtles locally, the alligator in the south, but the evidence of the age of the dinosaurs is mighty scarce around here. The most important survivors of that age were the primordial mammals, which grew to dominate the next era, a time in which many landscapes differed little from some of this day. And geologic time goes, that period was too recent and too vulnerable to have escaped the erosive forces of glaciation and weathering. In other parts of the country, however, we can find remains of tiny horse-like forms, proto-elephants and camels, and huge dead-end beasts, almost as large as the dinosaurs. Then came the Pleistocene epoch, that time of frequent glaciation. The most recent advance covered this area with great sheets of ice several thousand feet deep, inexorably advancing over the landscape, bulldozing, filling, and rearranging. This was the era of a man differing only in hairdo, haberdashery, and habits from his modern counterparts. Known to this representative of Homo sapiens were giant beaver, mammoth, and saber-toothed cat. As the glacier advanced, it created icebox conditions, forcing plants and animals to migrate southward or perish. As the great ice sheets retreated again, they dumped vast quantities of rock and gravel, creating mountainous moraines and fields of till. Great streams gushing forth from the melting mass carried rock, gravel, and silt in characteristic outwash patterns. The retreating sheet also created dam-like blocks to any northward flow, and therefore created lakes in every north-sloping valley. With the retreat of the glacier, those lakes shrunk into basins that had been gouged before. As the glacier retreated further, it created a huge freshwater lake, covering what is now Lake Ontario, Oneida Lake, Cross Lake, and most of the lands in between. Glacial Lake Iroquois, as it was called, once covered this area with from 20 to 40 feet of water. Under this vast lake, huge areas of shoreline gravels and embayments of sand and silt were deposited, forming the basis for the soils we now know. With the recession of the glacier, the plants and animals advanced again over what were barren, nearly sterile lands. Central New York was cloaked by successive mantles of tundra, spruce forest, northern hardwoods, and in the post-glacial period, even semi-tropical forests. We can read all of this in the pollen deposits laid down and preserved in the bog bottoms. By the time the Iroquois Nation had been founded, the rich forests of huge maples, beech, birch, and hemlock, with interspersions of oak, chestnut, or pine, were well established. The hunter could find a remarkable array of native wildlife, many of which are now just memories. Archaeologists have turned up remains of moose, wapiti, bear, and bison. Mountain lion and wolf were known to roam the ridges and valleys. These creatures, brothers under the skin, formed an important part of the American native folklore and religion. Most of these creatures were still present in New York State when the first white man, searching for gold or furs, first penetrated its interior. Today they join the trilobites, the giant lizards, the saber-toothed cats, and mammoths, all ghosts of a diverse past, which included inland swamps, seas, tropical forests, and glacial landscapes. Quite something when you think about it. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.